Good afternoon, everybody. It is Angie Atkinson. I'm here with the lovely and talented Dana Morningstar for our usual Tuesday afternoon adventure. Dana, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
As always, my pleasure. So while we're waiting for people to pop into the chat, hello, Angel. Hello. Thank you for being a new member. Hello. Okay. While we're waiting for people to pop into the chat, we're going to just kind of talk about the Chris Watts situation and Shanann Watts and all of that stuff. And Dana said that they just came up with the autopsies, which I haven't heard about yet. I've heard some things, but tell me what they found out.
Yeah. So it's my understanding that they found out that he had strangled his wife and that he smothered his two children. And what, you know, he had been saying for a while that his whole story was that he came home and that Shanann was strangling the children and that she had killed them. And so then in a fit of rage and shock, then he strangled and killed her. And so autopsy results show that's not true at all. Not a shocker, right? But you know, I think the other piece to this is they were able to pull up all of the old texts on his phone. Mm-hmm. And it looks like this wasn't just something that happened. He didn't just snap. This was premeditated. Yeah. And he'd been planning this for quite a while, which is, it gives me goosebumps even just thinking about it. And it's a wild story. His parents, his whole family is just, I think, in denial. They're still 100% supporting him, and it's just really tragic.
Yeah, it's definitely a horrible situation. And you know what's interesting is one of my clients had actually been kind of watching this case really closely, and a few weeks ago said to me that she had been watching all of these videos that some other channel was uploading from mm-hmm. her Facebook page, Shanann Watts' Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And this channel was trying to paint her as the abuser in the relationship. And I found that interesting because, as we both can probably attest to, you know, there are men who go through this probably mm-hmm. more than we even know, because they don't usually always come forward when they do go through this. And so it was, I kind of struggled with this a little bit because I didn't really know exactly how to, you know, how to feel, what to say to her when she said this to me. But I guess this kind of clears the air, at least in that respect. What do you know? What kinds of texts you were seeing? Did they talk about the texts at all from them?
Well, basically, he was looking right away at putting his house on the market. He's had a longtime girlfriend, was planning on, you know, just moving in with her. Buying a house. And the channel that you're talking about, this other YouTube channel, I stumbled across it over the weekend and began watching all of these videos. And, you know, Shanann kind of comes across as she's very interested in social media. She was live streaming a lot of their life. Mm-hmm. He seems annoyed by it.
Yeah.
You know, there are some things that she was saying that just, you know, weren't didn't paint her in the best light. But I think at the end of the day, it's like, okay, if your spouse, if you're so profoundly unhappily married, you know, obviously get a divorce.
And like
we were saying before, you know, it's one thing to hate your spouse, but then to kill your kids is just a whole different level. And then to dump their bodies in an oil drum, two separate oil drums. So there's just so many things about it, because, you know, suffocating somebody or strangling somebody, that's not a quick thing. That would take several minutes.
And to be able to look at your child's face while you're doing that, it just blows me away.
Oh God, how do you even do that? You know? And then, you know, moving their bodies one at a time into these oil drums and the thought process behind that. And there's no remorse. There's no sense of guilt. And, you know, here he is trying to paint himself as the victim of, you know, being this unhappily married man. But there were a lot of things on his phone that just showed a pattern of pathological lies. You know, he was lying to this girl, his girlfriend, he was lying to his wife, he was lying to his parents, he was lying to her parents. You know, he's just a pathological liar. And what's so scary, I think, about this case is, you know, he comes across as a really normal guy, and they come across as a fairly normal couple. And, you know, that's just, I think, so disturbing, because there's, you know, we talk about this all the time. Like, we all wish that the crazy people of the world would look like Charles Manson, and very often they don't.
Yeah. And you have to wonder, where did they, I mean, was she completely clueless? Did she have some idea, but she was doing what so many of us do and only putting the good stuff on social media? You know what I mean? Like, because to me, it seems like you have to have had some kind of, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just clueless for saying this, but I feel like she must have seen something. I mean, I guess my point is that if a lot of the people here, a lot of the people who are still in these relationships, you know, my fear is how many of them are at risk of what this woman went through. And I know that sounds dramatic, but if you told this woman, you know, 3 days before it happened that it was going to happen, do you think she would believe you? I mean, she was, like you said, they appeared to be a normal couple. There didn't appear to be, you know, what do you think about that?
I mean, I think it's hard for any of us to think that we would be the victim of something so heinous. It's just not on our radar. Like, that's the things that happen to other people.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's what happens on Dateline, but not in our real life. And it seems like she knew her marriage had been in trouble for a while, and they had been texting back and forth. She was really working overtime to try to make her marriage work. And so while she's texting her husband saying, you know, basically, I want to try to make it work, and saying all of these things, he's in between these texts with her, he's sending nudes back and forth with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, like, he was just so checked out of that relationship. And I think it just goes down to, like, when a person shows you that they don't care, like, let them go.
Yeah. And believe them.
And believe what you see.
Yeah. Not what they say necessarily.
Right. Because, I mean, and that's the thing, like, you know, everybody, when they get caught, everybody's on their best behavior. And most everybody says whatever they need to say in order to not get out of trouble, basically. Yeah. And that's especially, you know, people that end up going to jail and all of this kind of stuff. So it's just, it's just really tragic. And what's even, Angie, it just keeps going. So they were also saying, you know, now Chris Watts has this whole fan club. My heart, oh God, I'm gonna start crying. Like, I can't even imagine what her family must be going through, because, you know, not only did he blame her, their daughter, for their death, his parents come into the courthouse and his mom gives this really re-victimizing speech about she loves her son and she forgives him. And it's sort of like, you know what, this is not for you to forgive.
Like, right.
He did not kill your daughter, you know, and obviously you're not really that attached to these grandkids if you're going to forgive this within like a week. Like, this
I can't believe it. Yeah.
You need to work through. And then, so then on top of that, now they've, you know, they had the funeral for the kids. His parents didn't show up to the funeral. Probably, I would imagine, for a variety of reasons, but and then he's got all of these women writing to him in jail that are, there's a term for it. I had never heard this term before. It's like histrophilia or something. It's women that are attracted to dangerous men. Yeah. And so there's all these women writing to him like, I understand you, people mess up, you know, you're not alone in this and I'll be there to support you. And I just want to write to you and da 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 da. And it's just, it's so disgusting how as people do this, and it's, I don't know. There's just so many layers of hurt and ridiculousness that go with this.
Yeah. It's so little respect for the family and the woman and the children who were lost.
Yeah.
You know, as they're trying to kind of pull themselves back together. My God, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
I just, wow.
Yeah. It's terrible. And, you know, we had mentioned before we went live, some of the things that narcissists will say to get you back. And I think this is kind of a good segue into that, is basically they'll say whatever it takes. And the highly manipulative ones, a lot of the narcissists that are, you know, arrogant and egotistical, they won't ever admit that they're wrong. Like, they might say things like, I'll forgive you for everything you've done, or I'll forgive you if you have to own your part too, or they might not take accountability. But like the real charming, emotionally aware ones will promise to go to rehab or therapy or couples counseling, or jump through as many hoops as you need. And they've always got some sort of game plan.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just one of those things, like if somebody shows you that they don't care, that they're actively working against you when you're not around, it would be wise to go into self-protection mode and start separating from them financially and emotionally and physically.
Yeah.
Because you can't trust what they're up to. It would be foolish to trust what they're up to.
No, you're so right. And this is why it's so important to discuss this stuff, because I think we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to think about it, but it certainly is an unfortunate and consistent issue that, you know, we see. Now, I just want to pick up a few things from the chat really quickly. Mm-hmm. I want to say hello to Paul and James, and of course, Angel, the new member, my channel members that are here. Hello to Lovely Cat, Sunny Day, Jack Lumen, Carla, Christy, Cindy, Autumn, everybody. Hello. I'm sorry, I'm not saying hello to everybody because I want to, but I'm running out of time. We only have so much time. James, Catherine, Phoenix, everybody. Okay. So I wanted to touch base on this. Now, Kit Kat, first of all, I'm not going to be able to go into all that, but congratulations. Good for you. I'm proud of you for that. And LJ had a question, but I wanted to stay on topic, and I know I've just gone off topic, but bear with me here. So we had somebody saying, here we go. Julie said premeditated for sure. Kit Kat said this story is so very disturbing. Her stomach is turning at the details, especially regarding the children. VIP Kid says, yeah, I'm reading the autopsy results were traumatic. James F. said that, hey, I was an unhappy married man and I divorced her. And that's exactly what we would always recommend. But James is not toxic. We know this. Janet says the children, one fought, she bit her tongue several times. The pipe he pushed through them, pushed them through, was 8 inches of scraps. Oh my goodness, we don't need to go on all that.
You know, and I think his behavior too, when I found out that it was premeditated, because his whole trying to cover this crime was so sloppy and ridiculous that it seemed like this happened in the heat of the moment kind of a thing. And then to find out, oh no, this was premeditated. He'd been cooking this up for weeks. And then you think, how arrogant and grandiose do you have to be to think that you would get away with something that's so sloppy and so freaking stupid?
Right.
I mean, my goodness, like really, dude, you really don't think that they're gonna, you know, this is 2018. Like there's all kinds of DNA evidence. There's cameras, there's checkpoints. Like you really thought you were going to get away with it?
I mean, I thought the same thing. Do people get away with it is the question. I mean, do they? I don't know. I've never, I mean,
not like that.
Right.
I mean,
you can't kill a whole family and then just be like, oh, they're gone. I mean,
and then, I mean, the whole, and then to be like, to contact a realtor right away and to be texting your girlfriend and to have all of this stuff, it just, I mean, it's just so stupid that you just think, that part blows my mind. I mean, I think it really just speaks to the level of arrogance that he just thought people would believe whatever he says and that he'd get away with it. And that is just mind-boggling that he would have ever thought that.
I agree. It shocks me. It blows my mind. I know we don't diagnose anyone, but if you were guessing, would you say that he's a sociopath or a psychopath, or do you think he's just,
I would say, antisocial personality, just because he's got this longstanding pattern of lying.
Yeah.
And you know, the fact that this was even on his radar of a way to handle a problem.
That's, to me, that just, it blows my mind. I mean, how many people in this right now, in this you know, chat are probably still stuck in a relationship, and that would never cross their mind. You know, I wouldn't ever think that, it, you know, and I was in some pretty bad situations that never occurred to me. That's very bizarre. Oh, now here, Mickey says, I'm so mortified about this case. I can't get that song, Bella saying my daddy is my hero, out of my head. It's so heartbreaking. Woo. And Dandelion Green says, looking back, I think I was at risk. I feel like it was a close call looking back. She said it's too, you know, too, it was too traumatic at the time to see it clearly. And Kimberly says, nobody wants to believe they're living in a horror movie. Exactly. Right. I mean, that's, I don't know.
Yeah. It's something. It's just terrifying. I mean, and that's just what they do. Like, that's, I think that's the hardest thing for normal, decent people to wrap their mind around, is just that evil doesn't have rules. And I think we tend to keep thinking like, well, surely they just wouldn't do this, right? Like, surely there's a line in the sand that they just wouldn't go past. Right. And there isn't. It's just whatever they want, whatever meets their needs in that moment, they do.
Yeah. And that's, you know, to be honest with you, I'm shocked that there aren't more stories about him out there. Maybe his parents are covering them or whatever, where it seems like he must have done something stupid like this in the past, you know, like these people who, and this is a much smaller scale, but still a thing, you know, some people, when they get a pet and the pet doesn't work out, instead of finding the pet a home or taking it to a shelter, they'll just drive somewhere and throw it out of the car in the middle of nowhere. And I've seen that more often than I would care to say. And it's not the same thing, but even they don't kill the animal, you know. I think it's a little messed up, and I think it's, you know, really crappy to do to somebody, to an animal, you know, but I think that's a similar mindset, but I guess they didn't kill it, so I don't
know. Well, and I think that's one of the reasons harm to animals is on kind of the checklist.
Yeah.
The social personality, because, you know, if you can hurt such an innocent creature as an animal,
right?
Like a kitten, a puppy, dog, I mean, animals that only have love,
right?
If you can harm them, then odds are you're going to harm people that are not unconditional love, right?
Yeah.
So
shocks me.
I'm a big fan. I think people should be on a watch list if there's crime done to animals. Somebody was saying, I don't remember where it was, maybe in a comment on YouTube, about something like, oh, well, it's not like a puppy. Something like he was treating his kids like an inconvenient goldfish that you would just flush down the toilet. And I thought, first of all, that's correct. And then second, like, I wouldn't ever dream of flushing a live creature down a toilet. Like, that's weird that that's even on people's radars of, yeah, this is how we handle it. Like, you would think, oh, if I had a fish and I was moving and I couldn't take them, I would contact the local elementary school or
the pet store would take them. I mean, you could give them to almost anybody that has a fish tank.
Yes. You know? I mean, it's just bizarre how crazy. People handle, it's terrifying that people handle things like this.
Yeah. Yeah. This is unrelated, but to Dat Boy, I do not know what Sjorgen's syndrome is. Do you know what that is? Sjorgen's syndrome?
I do not.
I'll look it up and get back to you on that one, Dat Boy. That's his name, not my name for him. Anyway, okay. Let's see. Now, did I tell you? Oh, Janet Hill said, I had a young neighbor who was breaking up with her much older boyfriend. He shot her and himself. She told her brother what was going to happen, and if he didn't see her, go check, and he found them.
Wow.
Look, if you know that's going to happen, please don't tell your brother. Just get the heck out of there. I mean, tell your brother, but like, why would you put yourself, I know why, it's trauma bonding and everything else, but I want anyone who's listening right now to hear that no individual is worth that. No person, no spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend or sibling, even if you know they're going to kill you, don't just say, oh, well, you know, come check if you make sure I'm not dead. Get away. You know, if you know that's going to happen, I just think it's terrible. It just breaks my heart.
And I think a lot of it is this, and I get it because I've been there with a guy that I dated in high school. I was terrified of him, and he would threaten me, threaten to harm my family and my pet if I didn't do what he wanted to do. And it was, you know, as far as like trying to get away from that, it felt like I couldn't. Because I almost felt safer staying where he knew I was, because that way I knew that if he came looking for me, he'd find me. He wouldn't hopefully do something to my mom or my brother. It's just terrible. And I get it. Like, it's terrifying to feel like you're being hunted by somebody like that. And a lot of people can't afford to move. They have a job, they have kids, they've got roots there. But I think it's important to realize that even though it's inconvenient and expensive, you've really got to make it a priority to get away from these kinds of people, and that logic and laws don't work with them. You just got to do what you got to do to keep yourself safe. It's just terrible.
It really is. It just breaks my heart. I can't even, I want to be mad. I am mad, in fact, but mm-hmm. I don't understand. I'm not laughing. I'm just laughing at myself. Anyway, and this is just one way that they destroy us. I mean, look, I'm working on like a little, like sort of mini documentary right now. I have a lady that reached out to me, and she said this horrible thing happened to me, because I guess she heard my story about how my mother tried to have CPS get involved in my life. Mm-hmm. She was unsuccessful. But in this case, this is a horrible story. And this lady literally, like, CPS and the police sort of have been working against her across state lines with her mother and her sister and all this craziness. Her children are being abused by her sister. And I wouldn't necessarily just blindly believe somebody like this, but she actually sent me letters that one of her children wrote to her, and her kids are the same ages as my kids, are real close. Mm-hmm. And her teenage boy, the letter was so clearly, like, my kid would have written the same letter to me under those circumstances. And mm-hmm. you know, because clearly she's, you know, having a, up to the point that this all happened, she had an open communicative relationship, you know, with her children. And it just, it's a horrible story. But what it all comes down to, I know I'm not really spelling it all out right now, but what it all comes down to is that this is another way that toxic people hurt us. So she had, you know, she had been divorced, she was getting her life back together, all this stuff happened, and the family sort of took advantage of her in a really messed up way. And now both of her children are somewhere else, and she's just trying to figure out how to get them back. And it's they're with her sister, and it's a messed up, horrible situation. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I don't know why that came up, but it just, there are so many ways they try to, you know, if they're not going to directly kill you, they might do other horrible things to ruin your life. And so I feel like as soon as we know someone is toxic, we have to do the best thing that we can, like you said, to try to, you know, remove as much contact as we can to keep ourselves safe. I mean, if not go completely no contact, which in this case, I wish this lady would have done that sooner. But in any case, that where you hear these horrible stories, I can't even imagine. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, you bring up a good point about, you know, keeping ourselves safe. And I would just encourage everybody out there, when you're thinking about decision making, especially when it involves toxic people, to really ask yourself, you know, what is in the best interest of your safety and your sanity?
Yeah.
Because I think so often too, we've put our sanity on the back burner because we're just trying to survive. And the longer you're around a crazy maker and all of the gaslighting and the lies and the manipulations, that level of chaos quickly becomes a person's new normal. And the thought of making their sanity a priority is just so foreign. Mm. That almost sounds like a luxury.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think when you're far enough out of these relationships to then look back and reflect on them, you know, my guess is everybody, myself included, would say, wow, I really wish I would have made my sanity more of a priority. Whether that means reaching out and getting help from a life coach or a therapist or a support group, or getting a you know, a third party app to communicate with them through, or to take time to spend with friends, or whatever this might mean to you, to really make your sanity a priority, it's so worth it. Like, you will not look back at whatever is going on in your life right now and think to yourself, boy, I wish I would have worried about this more, or boy, I really wish I would have, you know, made myself crazier with all of this.
Right.
So,
I mean, and it's, you know, I want everyone here to know that we both understand better than probably, you know, anyone else that it's not as easy as we're making it sound sometimes to just, well, walk away. It's not, I get it. Yeah. Trust me. I had to do it with a kid the first time when I left my ex-husband, which was the only time I left him. But when you have two kids, or three kids or 10 kids, or you have no way to make money on your own, or you have, you know, you're just scared of that person, you're horribly trauma bonded, whatever. Mm-hmm. There are lots of reasons that people stay. We get it. I get it. I know mm-hmm. dating it. Yeah. So I don't want anyone to think that we're, you know, I'm in shock over this Chris Watts situation. And every time I hear some horror story, and I'm sure y'all know, I hear a lot of horror stories. And I know you do too, Dana.
Yeah.
It's something else. But anyway, do you want to go to the comments now?
Sure. Yeah. I'm all scrolling right through, see if anybody has any questions.
Let's see here. We have Angel. Hello again. And I'm so glad you're here. Thank you. Jack Lemon wants to know if he met her on the Spanily home boards. It's possible. Do you think the girlfriend is an R2? Okay. Oh, here's a comment from C. Rob that might be add to the discussion a little bit. I feel like Chris Watts' mother and sister baited Shanann into a conflict with them while she was in North Carolina, and this was part of the catalyst for Chris murdering the three. I don't know about that. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know anything about that, but I think he'd been planning this for a while.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, even if Shanann, you know, was confronting him, even if they had told her, hey, he's seeing somebody else, like, it sounds like this had been going on in his mind for at least a solid week before the murders actually happened.
I can't even. All right. Mm-hmm. Alice says, what do you think about narcissism within live streaming? She says, I have met, virtually not in person, so many narcissists in the last 2 years watching live streaming and have got too close to one. I mean, I don't know. I think certainly anyone can live stream, and that would include narcissists. And I could see where narcissists might really love to live stream. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know about you, Dana, but I have to kind of work up to it every time anymore.
Yeah.
Kind of mentally prepare and stuff. But I don't know if that's related or not. What are your thoughts on that? Anything?
Yeah, there's probably, I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, 10 years ago, I think a lot of the people that were online that were posting tons of selfies, you know, that was so weird.
Yeah.
And I think the first wave of that tended to be the people that were really self-absorbed, and, you know, it was just like, oh, it was very narcissistic. It was like, oh my gosh, give me a break. You know, nowadays it's really hard to tell because so many people do it. And the criticism that Shanann Watts was getting is, oh my gosh, this woman live streamed all the time. But, you know, she was involved in a handful of different like multi-level marketing companies, and they encourage people to do that. So it's a big part of like building a community and networking. And so it was a big part of the way that she was making income. You know, would she have still done all that even if it wasn't a part of her job? Like, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I've got some people that I know in my life that are, it's so funny because here I am, like, I'm the one at the YouTube channel and like all of this stuff, but I am so not, I am so bad about just taking pictures of events, like let alone videos and stuff. And whenever I go out with friends, they're the ones that are posting stuff all over Instagram, and it, I guess I'm just old. I don't know. Like, I'd like to do more of that because I think it's a nice way to like kind of track your life.
Yeah.
You know, and it's nice for your other friends and family to be able to keep up with you. But I don't know. It's hard anymore. There's probably a lot of, you know, histrionic and narcissistic people that, you know, that live stream and that are on YouTube.
Yeah.
you know.
I gotta say, I've seen, you know, a few people on Facebook live streaming ridiculous stuff, and I don't know if it's an age thing or what, but I can't even talk about it. I'm not talking about it. It's too much for me. With that being said, I think my last like 15 or 20 live streams on my personal page, which might be my only 15 or 20 live streams on my personal page, are all band concerts, marching, or something for my kid. I don't even want to put myself on it. You know, I'm bad about that. But that's what I tend to live stream, is like events that I'm at with my, where my kids are doing something. And then it's usually because some family member can't attend and wants to watch, you know? So I don't know. I don't know.
I
But
think you can tell a lot about the kinds of pictures a person posts,
yeah.
right? Like it's one thing if it's you know, you and your family, and or even you're like, hey, got a cute new outfit or whatever, or cut my hair or stuff like
Right.
that. Like you're sharing these kind of moments in your life. But if it's this constant need for validation of like these all these sexy pictures or I don't know, stuff like that, that's always kind of on my radar as like,
I
ooh,
totally agree.
that's
I'm trying to be cool about it, but I really, sometimes I see these, and most of them are younger women than me. And that's not saying that much, because I'm, you know, anyway, but I see them, and I'm just like, and it's never people like from the Spanily or the, you know, the community that we're both connected to. It's people from outside that community, but it's like younger ladies wearing, you know, like their underwear in a picture, or showing, you know, basically their whole self off, and very little covered, like only what Facebook absolutely requires. And I'm like, do you honestly think you're going to get any good attention that way? You, of course, people are going to be like, oh, you're hot. Yep, they're going to say that. And I get that they're trying to take it back. And I'm not trying to like slut shame or anything like that. I'm just saying, to me, I feel like people who are going to be attracted to those photos, I mean, everybody's going to look, right? But including me, because what, it's in my stream. What am I going to do? You know, I'm looking and I'm like this, oh, I feel sorry for them almost, because I think, and there's one girl in my head in particular that's sticking out right now who does it in my stream. And I haven't unfriended her because I like her as a person. And I think she's so smart and has so much possibility and potential to become something. And yet she posts these pictures of herself. And I'm like, those, you know, it's, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what else makes me feel old is when you know, got you know, 10 years ago when I would be out and about, you know, you're taking pictures, and especially if it was somebody's children that were in the picture, I remember like emailing them, like, is it okay? I took this picture, I'd like to post it on Facebook, like your child is in it, is that okay? And like that was such a huge thing. And then nowadays, like nobody cares, stuff is so open. And then not only that, but like the level of sex and exposure, and you know, you're scrolling through Instagram and you're like, can people even put that on the internet? Like some of the stuff is like really like triple X rated stuff. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm old or what, but my goodness, there's no
I
boundary,
unfollow
no
those.
limit.
No, I get it. And I think there should be some way to like PG-13ize stuff or something, because, you know, I like want to yell at people for posting things on Facebook, because I'm like, you know, our kids are on Facebook, you know.
Yes.
And Instagram is, I think, even worse, like you said. I mean, and the other thing is, my 15-year-old, 15, my 15-year-old, he and his friends, you know, they have Facebook because their parents do, but they don't use Facebook. They use Instagram. And God, the way even their classmates are posting this crap, these sexy pictures to high school girls. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's considered illegal if we're being honest, but they do. They post these really inappropriate photos. And my son said it makes me feel bad that they're doing that. I don't know what to do. I'm like, unfollow them, please. But I don't know. It's such a messed up situation. I don't know.
It is. And then back to real quick, back to the Shanann, Chris Watts case. Mickey mentioned, she says, you know, do you think the girlfriend was involved somehow? She was Googling Shanann in 2017, and she'd Googled, can police track text messages? She lied to the Denver Post about not knowing he was married. You know, I'd wondered that too, because another thing, this is what I'm talking about, like her poor family. I can't even imagine like the layers of it just keeps coming all of the hurt and pain and the awfulness of so many of these people that are involved in this. Another thing that the girlfriend had Googled was Amber Fry book deal. Right? Right. Crazy, huh? And so she was trying.
Oh my.
I know. It's disgusting. It's just absolutely.
She should be in jail too.
I agree. And I really hope that they're investigating her. Like the fact that somebody, I would think if you were involved with a married man, right? And let's say he's stringing her along, telling her everything she wants to hear, right? Promising to leave and whatever, his marriage is over, blah, blah, blah. You know, if you honestly think, okay, we're going to have this life together and this is how this is going to go. And then you find out, oh my God, he's murdered his whole family. I would think that you would be so shocked by that, that you wouldn't even, that thought of a book deal would be a million miles away.
I mean, you and I have both written books and I guarantee you neither one of us would have thought that. First of all, we would never date married men, but, but with that being said, I mean, it's disgusting. It makes me want to say the F bomb on YouTube because it's awful. It's disgusting. It's sickening. I can't even. She really did. She.
Yeah. And Mickey says too, the girlfriend told Chris to pawn her wedding ring when she knew that they were missing. Yeah. That's what's so scary is it's like, okay, this girlfriend sounds sociopathic too. So makes was she kind of egging him on to get rid of them or just because?
Why is she not being implicated? Why is she not being like in jail? I mean,
I would imagine that they're probably looking into her and if anything, trying to build a case.
I would hope so.
But there's enough stuff there that it really makes you wonder what else was going on.
I mean, I'm not saying go after everybody because, you know, to get revenge or anything like that. But to me, that girl sounds dangerous. I mean,
well, and she sounds like she was kind of a co-conspirator.
Right.
In all of this. So if not the driving force.
Oh, it makes me so angry. You know, this is why we struggle, I think, with this is why I think we struggle with being able to. You know, a lot of women come to me and they're like, well, I'm the other woman. I know everybody hates the other woman and stuff like that. But this type of situation right here is, I think, why she's given all the other women a bad name. And I know that there's no good name for the other women, but I'm just saying in some cases, men lie to women and they say they're single and they're not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Obviously, in this case, that was not the case. That's insane.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, the more I find out about this, the more wild it is. You just think, oh my, it just, and then, you know, like you're saying that this YouTube channel, that they're posting all these videos and it's all kind of these clickbaity titles that really paint Shanann in this terrible light.
Yeah.
And you think, you know, you guys, she had a family. And then there's people in the comments that are, you know, that say terrible things and, oh, she, you know, just terrible things about her. And it's like, I can't even imagine her family coming across stuff like this or having to deal with it. I mean, how much heartache can a family have?
It has to do. It must be someone from his family or one of his weird fan people doing this because no one else would, I don't think anyone else would have the nerve to try to attack someone. I mean, look, I'm not one of those people that's like, okay, if somebody's dead, they're automatically a saint. I'm not that girl. I know better than that. But, and I'm, you know, certainly everyone has things that they're not perfect about, but I don't think this woman was some kind of evil, you know, I don't feel like she would kill her children. And I think we know that that didn't happen now. So, but I mean, mm-hmm. I don't understand why somebody would want to villainize a dead woman who had been murdered. We know for sure. We knew then that she was murdered. You know what I mean? And that her family, like you said, is there trying to recover from this as the news is all over them and everything. I can't imagine.
And I would agree. You do get the vibe that this channel was started by somebody that's a Chris Watts supporter for sure.
For sure.
Family or somebody else. But it's just, you know, it's just sick. And it's sick to hear other people, like in the comments, you know, just trash talking her. And it's like, you know what, regardless of her personality or, you know, the MLM product she was selling or whatever that you disagree with, you know, the reality is she died. She was murdered and our kids were murdered. And this is on the internet and there's no excusing that, no matter how, you know, frustrating or self-absorbed or whatever a person might come across as, like, there's just no excusing it. It's just victim blaming is what it strikes me as.
Absolutely. Agreed. 100%. I cannot even, oh my gosh, did we really? Okay. Okay. So yeah. And like Kit Kat says, it's always premeditated. And she said everything that narcissists do basically. And I think that's up to a point accurate, but I also think that in many cases, you know, while we narcissists don't show a lot of empathy, don't seem to have a lot of empathy, they are certainly very concerned about one person's feelings, and that would be their own. And and I think it's clear that they are driven by a childlike emotional train. I just made that up, but you know what I mean. Like they have the emotional capability of at best a preteen, you know, if not a toddler. I mean, somewhere in there, in my experience. And yeah. As Carla says, there needs to be more awareness on this stuff. And that's what we're doing here, you know? So, okay.
And the inner muse says real quick, she says, whether a woman knows her husband's having an affair with a married, whether a woman knows she's having an affair with a married man or not, it is his choice to cheat. I was married to a cheater. I don't blame the women he cheated with. And I agree with you 100%. He's the one that took vows.
I agree too.
Like these other women don't owe anybody anything. And God only knows what the married person is telling them. Because odds are they're not talking up their spouse and saying how wonderful they are. And they're not painting a picture of a big, happy family. They're most likely saying, you know, all kinds of stuff. Oh, she's really manipulative. She's awful. Or we're actually separated. The divorce will be final soon. I've been divorced in my heart for years, blah, blah, blah. They're going to tell you whatever they need to tell you in order to get you in bed.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I've said this to more than one person, sometimes women, men, we get jealous of each other, our spouses, whatever. But as I've said to my husband 100 times, I'm not worried about her. I'm only worried about you. I don't need to worry about her because I know you, you know, are the one that's, like you said, Dana, you took the vows. So if he makes the bad choice, well, then he knows what the deal is. So far, so good. 15 years. We can't complain. Yeah. But I'm just saying, you know, even after 15 years, that rule still applies. Okay. Now this is something interesting from C. Rob says, Shanann was on the cusp of making more money than him with Thrive. She said that she said they could have sold the house and divorced without financially crippling Chris Watts, which is even more interesting because then what is the purpose of that? Like, he couldn't. I mean, look, okay, you hate your wife, fine. Okay, I can see that. We're humans, we're adults, things happen. But your children, did you see those? And it doesn't matter what the children look like. They look like children. I have children. They looked similar to those children at some point in their life. I cannot fathom. I don't even care if they were troll children, okay? If they came out of your body, they're your children, or you adopted them, they're your children. Mm-hmm. You've loved them since birth. You cannot, I couldn't even kill anybody else's children. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I couldn't, I wouldn't even hurt somebody else's children, and especially not my own. I could not imagine looking into my child's face and thinking I would want to hurt them. It makes me want to throw up to think about it and to think about what he did. For what? I mean, he could have moved on with this other woman, divorced his wife, still known his children or not, you know, and they would have still lived. I don't understand. I really don't understand the purpose.
Well, and did you hear that, you know, she was pregnant with a baby boy that they were going to name Nico?
No, I knew she was pregnant. I didn't know it was a boy or anything.
Okay. Well, hang on to your hat because there's some more awfulness coming. So they were going to name the boy Nico Lee, N-I-C-O-L-E-E. Okay. The mistress's name was Nicole.
I should have known.
N-I-C-O-L-E. Wow. So it's like the same name. Right. And I highly doubt that that's a coincidence.
Oh my God.
I mean, it just, you're like, you've got to be kidding me. So, you know, my guess is he murdered them because he wanted to save face and he would look like a terrible human being. Wow, dude, you left your pregnant wife and two little kids.
Well, and he definitely, I mean, you know, now he definitely looks.
Oh, right, right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like the logic of that is, and I get what you're saying, and that probably was exactly his logic, but my God, still, you know, go through a few weeks of people being mad at you or a few months or whatever and move on. You wouldn't be on the news for leaving your pregnant wife.
Well, but I think in his mind, he just thought he'd get away with it.
I think you're right.
Just, I mean, like, I just think, what an idiot. I mean, I just, that blows me away. Like, really, dude, this was your plan? Like, have you ever watched Dateline or like To Catch a Predator or like any of these shows ever? Like
the arrogance.
Not kept up with forensic science. I mean, it's just, it's so stupid that you just think the arrogance that anybody would think that they'd get away with it is that, that in itself is just jaw dropping. And, you know,
yeah,
but yeah, I think he just wanted, to just move forward and be painted as the victim in all of this and have people applaud him. Oh, he's so brave for pulling his life together and be willing to risk loving again. Right. And oh my goodness, he found this woman who was able to comfort him in his time of sorrow. Like, I'm sure that this was the whole plan.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. And the idea of it, I mean, the nature of it, and quite honestly, Dana, let's be real. If that girl really thought she was going to be safe with this man, I mean, what in the world? I mean, who could, if you were, I can't even say you, because you, I know you wouldn't, but I don't understand how anyone could think, well, if I help him, or I know he's going to hurt this other woman and her children, and then I'm in love with him, it's not going to happen to me.
Yeah. Well, that's assuming that she knew, like if assuming she didn't know and that this horrible thing happened, his wife and two children were just somehow kidnapped or they just, she left him, you know, that kind of a thing. Like maybe that's what he was thinking. Like everybody would just feel sorry for him. And then the mistress would never know.
When did she Google the thing about the book deal? Was this before or after they died?
I don't know. I want to say it was, it might have, I don't know. It was, it might have been after they either found the body or shortly after everything.
So she at least suspected it at that point, it sounds like.
I think she actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I think she did know. I think he'd recently been arrested. And okay. I think they had contacted her. And that's when she began Googling some stuff.
I just, maybe she's just cold. I don't know. I think if I didn't know he was married and then I found out, not only was he married, but he was, you know, he was a murderer. I don't think I'd be Googling that. I think I'd be in therapy or something.
Yeah, right? I mean, I think he would just be in shock. Mickey says that she Googled the book deal after Chris was arrested.
So she suspected something. Even if she didn't know, she suspected that it was a thing.
Well, I think, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think, I'm not sure the time frame of like when they, you know, if they had charged him. I think they might have charged him when they arrested him. So she might have known that Shanann at least was dead.
I mean, she had to know they were missing. It was all over the news, right? I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So Dandelion Green says, does anyone else get outraged by the fresh start motivation? She said, I think he was just out to do evil. And maybe that is, you know, obviously, I don't even care why he was doing it. I am with you on the evil factor. His motivation may have been a fresh start, which is completely ridiculous. As Dana said earlier in the stream, when she said, did he really think somebody wasn't going to find out? I mean, with all the technology we have today, but yeah, I don't like the idea of it being, you know, oh, I'm going to have a, you don't get a fresh start when you kill somebody. I mean, I know I'm with you on that, but I also see why he in his arrogance would think that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Julie says, you would be surprised how sloppy criminals get. She said, I guess Julie works, with the police or something. And she says, I had a lady call in and said she shot her abusive boyfriend and he was dead. And then she shot him again while she was on the phone with police. I mean, I cannot even imagine. I'm sorry, I have to turn that. I don't know who that would be. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I'll say sorry to Sue, but she's gone now. So I did want to, I can't see where it is right now, but somebody said NPD was a, what's it called? A mental illness, which it is not. It's a personality disorder. So I just wanted to clarify that. I don't remember where I saw it in the chat, but.
Yeah, medication. And the difference is generally with mental illness, at least most mental illnesses, it can be treated with medication.
Yeah.
So a person's behavior is radically different when they're on and off medication.
Yeah. But, now that doesn't mean they couldn't have a mental illness and NPD or and a personality disorder, right? Yeah.
Right.
Right. And James F. says, it just goes to show you that when you are dealing with a narcissist or psychopath, they're capable of anything. He said, when I saw her, meaning his narcissist with no mask, I knew I had to get away. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And Mr. X, I think that's ecstasy. I'm not sure. Mr. Ecstasy. Is it possible to heal narcissism? And we know we get asked this question all the time, and it just really boils down to, you know, a person has to be motivated to want to change. And that's the problem with people that are that self-absorbed and that arrogant and that grandiose and, is they don't see any problem with their behavior. They feel entitled to it. And so we're all of us, okay? We only start changing our behavior when we experience pain from what we're doing. Yeah. Something happens. We step on the scale and we're shocked by the number we see, right? We start going on a diet. We, you know, you're drinking and you make a fool of yourself at the Christmas party, or you get a DUI and then you realize, okay, something's got to change.
Yeah.
These kinds of things, like we have to experience pain before we really take action to do something different. They don't experience pain because they feel entitled to treat other people the way that they do.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's, and even, and, you know, we talk about this all the time too. Even if there was, let's say there was a treatment, there's lots of treatments for lots of things. There's treatments for anorexia and for alcoholism and all kinds of things. And even you can drag a person to rehab or inpatient facility for eating disorders. And if they're not ready to change, they're not going to change.
Yeah.
So just because there's a treatment out there doesn't mean that a person's going to utilize it. And that, and you're talking, if a person, let's say an anorexic, they're an inpatient treatment center, they've got, the stakes are high. Like they're going to die if they don't get help.
Yeah.
Right? And they have to do basically, I mean, they've got a lot of mindset things that they need to change, but it's basically you need to eat.
Yeah.
With a personality disorder, you're talking, there's so many facets that are, there's so many things about their mindset. That's a problem. It's like playing whack-a-mole. You deal with one issue, another one comes up because it's so interwoven throughout their personality. So it's not just the cheating or just the name calling. It's pervasive throughout their whole personality. And I mean, you would forever be dealing with issues. And of course, nobody likes to hear things about themselves that other, you know, nobody likes to be criticized. And so there's just so many challenges with the person working towards changing their personality.
I totally agree. And I think the only thing I would add is that yes, in theory, I think it could be done, but yet I've never seen it happen. Dana's never seen it happen. I know Richard and I have talked about it. He's never seen it happen. Everybody I've talked to in this field has never seen it happen. One person claimed they fixed narcissists, but then I spoke to this person's patients' wives, because he only worked with men, and all of the wives said, no, they're not fixed. They had behavior modifications, but they must see this person every week for the rest of their lives. Basically, they were going to stay on track, and they were still having incidents weekly or monthly, depending on the person. And it's temporary. It's modifying behavior as opposed to changing the underlying issue. They would have to dig really deep. It would take years. I've never seen it happen.
Decades, really.
Decades.
I mean, yeah. You think about us on the opposite side of the coin, right?
Yeah.
Those of us that have, that struggle with kind of too much empathy and just keeping ourselves safe, staying, detaching from toxic people, mm-hmm. how difficult it is for us to change and us to develop healthy boundaries and to hold the boundaries and to all of the work that we need to do with yeah. becoming healthy. And you think about it, and it's, and if anybody's gone through this process, you know, you think you've got like, just when you think you've kind of got a lot of work done, mm-hmm. you'll find something else. You're like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that I was also doing this. And this is how this was negatively impacting my life.
Yeah.
It's just, it's pulling a string on a sweater, and it's this constant kind of leveling up that a person does when they start, you know, becoming more in alignment and developing healthy behaviors. But it's a long process, and it requires consistent motivation and a consistent yeah. ability for like introspection and self-reflection. And then, like I was saying earlier, the added challenge is it's so hard for us to see any issues within ourselves because we're so close to it.
Yeah.
And, but it's difficult. Then the catch is it's difficult to hear from other people things that we need to work on because we all get defensive, right?
Yeah.
So it's just, unless you have somebody that's, you really feel emotionally safe around to say like, hey, you know, I really want to get my life on a better track. Like, what are, like, you're not going to hurt my feelings. What are some things that you think I need to work on?
Right.
But to be able to do that requires a person to be incredibly vulnerable,
right?
Which most people in general, especially narcissists, are not going to be able to do.
No. And if you ever have had the nerve to tell a narcissist about themselves, y'all know what we're talking about. I will say that for myself and for many other survivors, and I think you as well, Dana, I think sometimes we tend to be hypercritical of ourselves. And because of that, we are always trying to get a little better, and sometimes in the wrong way. Like when we're with a narcissist, I did this anyway, and I got to hurry because I realized I'm supposed to be on a call. Mm. 6 minutes ago.
Oh, but, gosh. Okay.
Anyway, but we do try to level up for them at some point. And then as you do that, you know, I don't know. I think when we do heal and we do get out of these relationships, I think we end up being more evolved than our counterparts because we know. I can look at myself right now and tell you about 57 things I need to fix. But as a human, I also recognize I'm just a human and I can only fix 30 of them. So we have to also accept ourselves unconditionally. But anyway, I'm so sorry that I have to wrap up in this way, but any final thoughts before we roll out?
No, that's it. It was a good conversation.
It really was. It went too fast.
Yeah, it did.
So before we go, I just want to let you guys know we'll be here around the same time, maybe half an hour earlier next week on Dana's channel. Which is Thrive After Abuse. You can find her Thrive After Abuse here on YouTube, thriveafterabuse.com, and Thrive After Abuse on Facebook. And there's also a support group for her stuff, Thrive After Abuse, everywhere you look. All right. And as always, Dana, thanks for being here. And for all of you, thanks for being a part of my day and a part of my life. Letting me be a part of yours really means a lot to me. Thanks for all my channel members, sponsors. Appreciate you. And just all of you who are here and supporting us in this day. Have a lovely day. I will see you all soon. Thank you, Dana.
Bye.
All right. Bye.